where strategy gaming meets good vibes. No stress, just critical moves. Welcome, everybody. This is the Critical Moves podcast, and today we are celebrating reaching episode 26. I'm Al, and I'm joined by Nuno.
Hello.
By Joe.
Hey, everybody.
And by Adam.
Hello, everyone.
Now, hopefully, at some point throughout the recording of this episode, Tim will be joining us, and also Jack as well. So we'll see how that pans out. It's going to be interesting having six people on an episode, guys. We've never done anything like this before. It could be terrible. It could be the best thing ever. Let's just see how we get on. What we're going to do today is I put out a message on our Discord and on our socials asking for people to submit questions that they might like to ask us, or interesting talking points. So we have a selection of questions that we're going to go through. But before we do that, Nuno, my question for you is, what's been the most amazing part of being a part of Critical Moves for you?
Most amazing part of being on Critical Moves is that you do all the work and I just show up here a couple of minutes a week to say some dumb shit and then things go online. No, but for real, it has been super fun to talk with like-minded people about strategy games. Yeah, mostly that. It's just fun.
And Joe, you've been with us from the start as well. Thanks for hanging in there and putting up with Nuno's bullshit. It is appreciated. What stands out for you?
Well, it's interesting being a part of such a diverse group of people who all agree for the most part on the same thing. We're all from different areas, but everybody knew Civ 7 was bad and Stellaris was good. And it's nice to be a part of a group like that.
And Adam's quite new to this, aren't you? How many episodes have you done, Adam?
Two. It's amazing, guys. I like talking with you. I really like that I don't need to bore my girlfriend with me talking about games. So,
funny enough, your girlfriend's really appreciative as well.
Yep, she is, except me talking loud in the night at 2 a.m., but except that, it's cool.
Anything just to leave her alone for a little bit.
But she's not listening to it, so you know how.
Oh, she will. We'll have to. We'll track her down and we'll send her this.
Okay.
Adam said that he's. Adam says that you don't appreciate him anymore.
Guys, I couldn't hear you. I have some distortion.
Okay. All right.
Right. Yeah. So you're ruining my future marriage. Thank you, guys.
You know, it's what we're here for. It's a public service.
Yeah, of course. It's like, okay, Adam, let's come and record the podcast, but we'll ruin your marriage. Oh, thank you, guys. Let's do it. Why not?
At least you get free copies. You get free copies for video games. So yeah.
And you'd have more time for games as well.
Oh, so this was that was your goal. Basically, you were like, okay, let's push Adam to this point that he will be playing all day.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So we need to destroy my company too. So like, this is the next step, I guess.
Let's have a look at some of these questions then. We'll go with this one. I'm going to ask Joe, first of all, what game are you most looking forward to for the rest of 2025? Strategy game, just to clarify. And that came from a random internet user.
Random internet user asked the game we were looking the most forward to for 2025. Okay, so I'm really excited for Burden of Command after our interview. Sounds like it's going to be great, and I hope they actually get to it this year.
It's out already.
What?
It's out already.
Yes.
I missed that completely then. And then, okay, so I'm ready to play Burden of Command now, I guess.
Okay. Yeah. It's. When was it released? No. Was it last week? A couple of weeks ago.
Yeah, 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
I got the demo.
It pained me that Joe didn't check strategy and wargaming for 2 weeks. I'm deeply hurt right now.
Look, I don't want you to come for me, but I don't think I've checked strategy and wargaming in 2.5 weeks.
You're not missing anything.
Ooh, I'm gonna get.
I'm in
for sure. Okay, the other thing I'm really looking forward to is the DLC, actually. There's a couple DLCs coming out for Victoria 3 that are supposed to really do some big things. I've been playing Major Victoria 3, and one of the DLCs is going to completely rework trade, which is going to give new realms of dorky economic simulation that I can't wait for. That's my big one.
Okay. We've just been joined by Tim. Hi, Timothy.
Hi, how are you doing?
Are you good?
I am, thank you very much.
Yeah, you've arrived just in time for the question round. So thanks for joining us. Are you ready to face your first question?
Please give it to me.
Well, I'll ask the same thing as what I've asked everybody else. Of, you know, we're at 6 months now. This is episode 26. Been doing this for a while. What's your standout memory or standout moment of being involved in this pile of shite?
Let's be gentle, all right? No, I really enjoyed getting to know all of us, I would say. And every time being a first episode with one of you, I got to know you, got to know what you liked, your opinions, and that's been a great pleasure. Every new episode with a new member was like tons of fun for me.
Tim's just the sweetest guy, isn't he? You can agree, mother.
I agreed with my head nod.
Everybody was nodding their head, and it's like, this is an audio podcast. People need to hear what you're saying. Okay, well, since you've arrived, Tim, the first question that we just asked there was, what game are you most looking forward to for the rest of 2025? Joe went with Burden of Command, which has already been released, and then switched to switched to Victoria 3 DLC.
No, I actually really agree with you, Joe, on the new DLC for the trade. Like, I'm playing it now with a bunch of friends. Every night we play for a couple of hours, and it's been tons of fun. And trade is definitely something that I look forward to improving, actually.
When's the Victoria 3 podcast, Tim? We need to do this.
We do. Let's go. I'm ready. I'm looking at what just came out as well. With Tempest Rising, I haven't bought it yet. I haven't played it yet, but I'm looking at the gameplay, and I might buy that actually.
It is really good.
You're having a field day, I'm sure.
Yeah, I've just finished the first campaign, the GDF campaign. I've just played through that, and it's really good. I'm not going to go into detail because we covered Tempest Rising last week in glorious detail, and maybe we'll save that for another time, but it is recommended. Nuno, what game are you most looking forward to for the rest of 2025?
It was Burden of Command until it came out, so right now it's probably Broken Arrow because it's also really good. I have access to a couple more missions, single player missions. I think I can talk about that because I saw a lot of YouTube videos on it. So, and those two missions were really well designed, very intricate, very, very, very well made. So I'm really excited for the single player part of it. So yeah, despite my gripes with the way infantry works, I'm still not happy about that. However, it has a lot of promise for people who enjoy single player games. So. Yeah, Broken Arrow, it's definitely on my radar for most anticipated game of 2025 after Burden of Command, which is one of my favorite games of all time. Really good.
And it's June, isn't it, for Broken Arrow? It's out in June.
Oh, I don't know. Is it?
Yeah, they haven't confirmed an exact date, but the release window says June on Steam. So.
Oh, perfect. It winds up. It winds up. Everything is winding up in my life. So, perfect.
Excellent. Okay.
Oh, another one real quick, Falling Frontier. It's not sure it's going to come out this year, but this is a game I'm really looking forward to.
It does look good. It does look good. Adam?
Basically, it changed, and right now it's Endless Legend 2. I heard some really great previews about this title. And to be honest, I have this issue that I tried to play this studio's other games, like Endless Legend 1, Endless Space, and some other stuff. and I haven't liked them, to be honest. I do believe that it may change with this second iteration.
We're having a great year on strategy games, aren't we?
Except for Civilization, I guess.
You can't win them all. I want to ask another question. This one goes to him and to Joe. And it comes from AC Bishop, who's one of our Discord members. And he said, when are we getting that bar 1v1 show match?
I'm free now.
Like right this instant. Like right now, right this instant, yeah?
4 hours. I'm right after 4 hours. Well,
let's say right after this episode, right?
You'll be going to bed, won't you?
I'm old enough to stay up.
Well, I'll be going to bed and Joe will be going to work, so not that I'm scared, not that I'm putting off, but
sure.
Sounds like you're scared though.
Yeah, let's stick it in the calendar for a time when Joe's got a couple of hours to get trounced.
I've been watching Let's Plays on YouTube. I'm ready.
Oh well, you must just be the expert then. If you watch other people play it,
look, I'm not ready for anybody but Al. But for Al, I'm ready.
Do you watch the NFL as well?
Yeah.
So, are you in the draft?
Look, I don't know where you're going with this, but if you want to play football, I'm ready for that too.
Okay, all right. So we'll get to it this year. All right. I think that's fair to say. I think that I'm going to ask Tim to coach me.
I don't think I'm supposed to play favorites.
It's not about playing favorites. It's about knowing who's the boss.
When's my paycheck coming?
Soon. Look out for a parcel arriving at some point soon, as previously
discussed.
It's going to
be a bad microphone.
It's going to give you a Chinese mic. So.
Okay. Jack's just turned up. Hi, mate. How are you doing?
Hello, everybody. How are you doing?
Good, thanks. Jack is our newest recruit to Critical Moves. In fact, I think this will be his first ever episode because of wibbly wobbly timey wimey stuff. So, are you good? You find it all right? Are these guys what you thought would be, or are they all just a bunch of dickheads?
The second.
Well, I did think I was going to run circles around Adam and Tim, but they put me in my place. So
that's good. Jack, let me pick out a question for you since you've just arrived. All right, this might be a toughie. So if you need some time to think about it, just say, and we'll pass it on to somebody else, and we'll come back to you. What is the most impactful strategy game of all time? Not influential, but the game that stays in the minds of its players longest.
I actually have a pretty fast answer for that one. I would actually say the most impactful game would be, in my opinion, maybe Age of Empires 1 or 2, maybe specifically 2, and that is only because, even though it's a game I enjoy very much, it is because I regularly listen to a different podcast that I'm going to plug for a moment, which is the Academy of Interactive Arts and Sciences. And they regularly, every podcast, they have an industry veteran, generally it's Austin Wintry interviewing other composers for major games, or Ted Price, the president of Insomniac, does a bunch of creative director interviews. And every time they ask them, just very often their answer for what motivated them to get in the games or how they started was that they had played Age of Empires 2 and started by memorizing the cheat codes and basically loving that game, and that it had inspired them for the interactivity of systems to have cheat codes and people want to look through guides and things like that. And so it's just really interesting that it's not necessarily influential to have, like obviously it's influenced strategy games that have come later, but it's been impactful and sat in developers' minds so that so many creative directors and producers these days can quote that Age of Empires 2 cheat codes is what motivated them to get into player interactivity and system building, so that they have cheat codes in their own games and interacting systems. It's just really fascinating to me.
Thank you for that. I think everybody agrees, or most people agree, about Age of Empires 2 being quite important, I suppose, in the history of strategy games. But before, we'll come back and we'll discuss that in more length in just a moment. But I just want to go to Joe, who is time limited today, and ask him the same question.
I think it was probably Red Alert 2, to me, was one of the most impactful strategy games for many reasons. The story was so great. It used cutscenes in a way that I don't know that I'd seen someone use cutscenes. And weirdly enough, I still remember those. I don't want to make it weird, but I still remember Tanya in the dress at the end. Right? When you go to the banquet with the president, that was impactful.
Impactful in a pervy way.
No, I was young, dude.
You're a dog. You are a dog.
I was young. I was like 10.
Uh-huh. And you still remember it now at the age of 21.
Oh, is that how old it is?
No, that's how old you are.
Yeah, that's how old I look.
Yes, that's what I meant, yes. Yeah.
Other than that, I think Crusader Kings 2 really did a lot. It really, for Paradox at the very least, threw Paradox into another stratosphere when it came to their game systems. So that'd be my other answer.
Mm-hmm. Nuno.
I have to agree with Jack on that one. I think Age of Empires is probably the most impactful strategy game of all time. And I'm pretty sure if you ask a lot of people, the first game that comes to mind when they think about strategy games, most of them are going to say Age of Empires. Like, even people who have no idea what a strategy game is, even if you say something like, tell me an historical title, or tell me something, a video game that you remember from your childhood, I'm pretty sure most people are going to pick Age of Empires. But mechanics-wise, I think Company of Heroes did a great job of breaking the mold on what strategy games were on the early 2000s. Because you have that formula of you build your base, gather your resources, and build doom stacks and fight each other. And I think that Company of Heroes brought a new level of depth and complexity to RTS that didn't have back then. And I think that molded a lot of future games. And clearly people loved it. But so yeah, I would say those two games are probably the most impactful games for very different reasons. But I mean, even today, Age of Empires 2 is one of the most played strategy games online.
Still, isn't it? And yeah. How old is it now?
It released in 1998, Age of Empires 2, I think. So
that was when Tim was born.
Yeah. He was being conceived in 98. I think he was born in 2015. It just took him a while.
That's how that works, man, definitely.
It's a long gestation period. His poor mother.
That's why he's so smart.
Must be it.
I think Age of Empires is the correct answer to that. And you all, you haven't answered any question.
I don't have to answer questions. I'm the host.
I have to answer questions. Anyway. What's the most impactful game of all time for you?
Total Annihilation.
Why?
Because it took... I think before Total Annihilation, for RTS games, you had Westworld, you had the guys who did StarCraft, Blizzard. And it was very formulaic. It was very samey. And then Chris Taylor came along with Total Annihilation and said, "Let's rewrite this. Let's change the entire way that these games are presented in terms of scale, in terms of faction design, the technology that was used. I think it just elevated the genre beyond what we'd seen before and set the table out for Beyond Our Reason, for Supreme Commander, which I think is also extremely impactful for this whole. I think it showed that RTS games could be more than just Red Alert, Command and Conquer, StarCraft. They could have scale. They could have an impact beyond what we'd experienced before. And I think it really brought that into the public domain. That's my pick anyway.
I would disagree with you. I wish I could agree with you there, Al, but I'm going to say that after Tunnel Elation, it was a long time of not much happening that was inspired by Tunnel Elation, I would say. After Tunnel Elation came the failed Tunnel Elation Kingdoms that flopped, and I think that put a lot of people off of trying something like that again. And Supreme Commander came like way, way after, and then it was just one game, Supreme Commander, and it took like again so much longer for other games to simulate it. So I'm a bit sad because I agree with you. I think that Tunnel Elation was really cool and it did break the mold, and I wished I saw more strategy games take that direction, but I feel like it didn't.
Okay. That's fine. that's fine. I'm gonna move on to another question, and we'll go to Adam this time. Do you sometimes play classics that you missed out back in the day? And if so, which, and what was your experience with them? That's come from Vampiro.
One game that comes to my mind is Dune 2nd, because there was this two games, Dune strategy games, yes? The first one was like kind of strategy game, and the second one was the first RTS, yes? And I played it
one
when
of,
I was...
One of the first RTSs.
But let's call it like one of the first one. And when I was really young, I remember looking over the shoulder of my cousin playing it, and I played it recently, and it's old. And you can feel it's really old. So, yeah. But yeah, it's fun. It's not that bad, to be honest. Like the graphics, since it's drawn, and it's a little bit like stylized, it's still kind of cool to look at. So that is the one game
Dune
that
2.
I can save for certain. Dune 2, yes.
Hmm. Okay. Jack, have you got one that you'd like to add?
You might have to move to somebody else. I have to think.
Okay. Jim, have you got one you'd like to add?
I never played Age of Wonders. I saw a lot of other people play it. Same thing with Dwarf Fortress. I saw people play Dwarf Fortress and Age of Wonders, and they both seemed like really cool games that I never got around to playing.
So you have played Age of Wonders, or you haven't?
I have not. But
okay,
I kind of missed out on those.
So your answer to the question is no, then. Do you sometimes play classics that you missed out on back in the day?
I totally misunderstood your question, because I'm such a good listener.
It's because you're too busy thinking about what Joe was saying about Tanya in that dress at the end of Red Alert 2, aren't you? That's what it is. You've been frantically Googling that, haven't you? That's you. Okay, your secret's safe with me. Maybe not with Nuno, he's got a big mouth.
Yes.
Nuno, the question was, do you sometimes play classics that you missed out on back in the day? And if so, which, and what was your experience like with them?
I was going to say Beyond All Reason. But I'm
you're just saying that just to piss Tim off, is it?
Now, if I play classics, I do play classics, but not the ones I missed. I think not any one of those I can remember off the top of my head. Yeah,
It's kind of difficult to get back into the old games with the old graphics and the old mechanics, right?
Yeah, I think it's nostalgia, isn't it? I think that we have this this idea of, I remember playing that back in the day, and it was really, really good, and the graphics looked amazing. As an example, I plugged in an old Sega Mega Drive or Genesis, if you're American, the other day for Lucas. And I wanted to play Sonic the Hedgehog. He talks about Sonic, never played it, and put it on. And then I looked through and had Road Rage 2, and I put it on, and I was just like, I remember the graphics being so much better than this.
Yeah.
And it was almost the point where it was unplayable, because there was just a complete lack of detail. And I think that sometimes we have this memory, these rose-tinted glasses of how awesome things were back in the day. And then when we play them, we're like, you know, as Adam mentioned about Dune 2, it looks shit.
Yeah, it does.
But when that came out, it was state of the art. Everyone was blown away by how fantastic it looked. And now it's you wouldn't wipe your ass with it, would you?
I rarely recommend old games to new players. I would say, like, play the newer games. There's very few games I would recommend.
Mm-hmm. If you had to recommend one, though, let's say something which would be considered a classic, what would it be?
Maybe something like Heroes of Might and Magic 3, since the graphics still look really beautiful even today, because as opposed to many others, they stuck with 2D, and they made it 2D in a good way. And a lot of games from that period went 3D, and man, the early 3D games now, like, oof. Oof, don't go there.
Okay. Let's go back to Jack, who's had time to gather his thoughts and think of an answer to the question.
Right, so technically I think my answer is no, I don't go back and play the classics.
Next question.
Yeah. I mean, it's kind of a cheap answer, especially because I'll say that most of the time I've spent with Age of Empires 2 has been in the remaster that Xbox has released through their program with In Exile, I think, or I can't remember who it was that they had remaster it, but I've spent time with Age of Empires 2 as a child, but most of my experience from it comes from adulthood from that remaster. And I'll go back and play iterations of a franchise that I missed before, like Halo Wars 1 and my journey to experience both of them. I'll go back and play that, even though there's a far superior version that's available now in Halo Wars 2. But otherwise, I have things on like a wish list. I want to go back and re-experience Sid Meier's Pirates, and as well as Age of Mythology and its remaster that just came out. But they're not necessarily things that I completely missed out on. So that's why it's kind of a technical no.
So technical no, but there's still some things that you'd like to try out.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Right. This is going to go to, this is going to be for Nuno and Tim. And I think you'll understand the reason why. This came from a random internet user. And he said, if you could go back and redo any episode of the podcast, which would it be and why?
Okay. I think some of the first ones. I remember I was leading when I was hosting one of the first ones. And I was a bit nervous. I feel a bit odd looking back at it, but I remember being a bit nervous and not being very clear-minded. So, yeah, one of those.
Which one was that? You're not sure? Hey, you're looking for it now, are you?
Yeah, I think it was the RTS Renaissance. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure. Yeah.
I thought that was really good. I thought the episode was really good. And I think that maybe you and I think we do. I think we are probably we criticize ourselves more than we criticize others. You know, nobody likes how they sound, do they? You know, it's one of those things. It takes a while to get used to the sound of your own voice, hearing it when it's not inside your head, if that makes sense. Yeah. So. No, I think that That was a good episode. You did a great job of hosting it.
Oh, thank you.
And I'd like to see you host more of them. It was great. Nuno, if you could go back and redo any episode, what would it be?
I have a terrible memory for this kind of stuff, but the one that came to mind was the one where we discussed if... What was it like? I can't remember the topic, but it was, is it okay to play the bad guys on
the morality game? Episode.
Yeah, the morality one. Yeah. I said a couple of things there that might have been a bit too fence-sitting for my liking. I didn't make myself clear on what my stance was on that. So I would probably have a couple of different answers. And be a lot less tamer than I was. So I'd probably be a lot more harsh on some of the criticism and some of the stances I took. Mainly because I think I was being a bit overcautious on what I was saying. And trying to explain myself in a way that didn't make a lot of sense and didn't have too much to the conversation. So, yeah.
Was this because you didn't want to offend people, or because that was quite an early one as well? Was it a case of you weren't sure about the people that were on the episode?
No, I think it was more about like you need to be to tread very careful on the way you explain this kind of things, because let's be honest, most of the people who write to reinterpret what you say are absolute idiots. So I try to talk in a way that I was looking at an audience of people who might not be there. So I was trying to talk to idiots, and that was a very bad very bad idea. Yeah. So didn't think that way through. So if I was gonna redo that episode, I would have a lot more harsher things to say about the way some video games treat morality, how they treat historical reality, and these weird movements you see on this day and age of trying to make everything sound, I don't want to say politically correct, but they take a lot of historical liberties. And as someone who studied history in university and was actually an academic on the field, it annoys me quite a bit when people touch on something so personal to people and to countries and to identities. And after talking with Luke, which by the way was a great episode, go watch the Button of Command interview with Luke. He had the perfect way to put this, is that he asked, who are we to decide what narrative are we going to tell about history? Because we weren't there, we have no idea how things were, we cannot even fathom or try to understand the way or the problem that some of those people faced. And that really stuck with me. And the other one was a quote that I mentioned on that same episode, which was one of my university professors said that history is what it is, and it doesn't care what you think about it, because it happened, and it happened in the way it did. If it's bad or not, it's not up to us to judge. So, yeah, I would like to correct that and say that, yeah, I think it's okay for you to play the bad guys in video games. I think it's okay for you to do whatever you want. And if people don't like it, then fuck them. But yeah, okay. Just clear that up.
Nicest Nuno opinion.
Yeah, nicest opinion.
It was a good episode, that one. I appreciate what you say about how you would like to go back and maybe change or modify some of the points that you made. But I thought it was really good. If I had to pick one, it was one which was I think it was originally titled The Strategy Games That Made Us, and I thought it was a little bit self-aggrandizing. I thought it was a bit too, and again, I think a lot of these were really early in our podcasting careers, if you want to call them careers, and I think we've improved. I mean, this is episode 26. We've done 26 of these things, so we should be getting better.
I think that one was a bit.
Well, some of us are getting better. You know,
nondescript. Some of us.
Yeah. No names mentioned. I think it's been a journey. And of course, there's always going to be things that we say, well, if we go back, we'd do that differently. But I think overall, I've been really pleased with how we've done. Let's move on. Jack, I don't think that you were here when I asked this question the first time. What game are you most looking forward to for the rest of 2025?
New games that are just coming out, I'll say. But I am really interested, based on the suggestions from this podcast, to pick up Beyond All Reason. I'm very much a large backlog kind of a person, so I'll look into Beyond All Reason. And as I said before, I'm interested in picking up Age of Wonders 4, I believe is the most recent one from Paradox. And I'd also like to try Age of Mythology again. So those would probably be my picks.
Beyond Our Reason gets another convert. This is why Tim agreed to be part of this. We could just recruit people that he could destroy in online matches of Beyond Our Reason.
Should we rename the podcast? Perhaps.
Yeah, they told me this was.
He told you that was his plan. All right. Okay. Well, sometimes I think it's the Stellaris podcast as well. You know,
the best Stellaris. Yeah.
Uh-huh. Victoria Free podcast, guys. Every episode we have, there's always the bit about the Victoria Free.
Well, I guess if things are being mentioned all the time, it's because they are influential. It's because they're great games, and if people want to talk about it, let them talk about it.
Age of Empires 2 also comes up a lot. So it's like almost as if we're like a strategy game podcast or something.
It is. It's quite, it's amazing that, isn't it? Maybe that's what we should change the name from the Beyond Our Reason podcast to Critical Moves.
Oh, shoot. Game podcast. Oh, man, you know? You're a genius.
Or can you change the name of the video game? We call it the Critical Moves video game.
We should change Beyond Our Reason to change. That's not a bad idea. Sticking with that Beyond Our Reason theme, that string. Next question, and I apologize, I didn't write down who this question came from. But whilst you answer this, I'll find out. We'll go to Adam. And no is a fairly acceptable answer, in which case pass on to somebody else you choose. Do you have any co-op experience in strategy games, or do you always play alone or against other people? And if you've played co-op, what are your favorite games to play with others?
So, yeah. Okay, so because I hate playing multiplayer games, like in the...
Beyond All Reason.
In terms of like versus style, I basically I'm a really bad player, so most of time I play in co-op mode. I mean, like skirmishes, 2v2, and so on and so forth. So of course, Beyond All Reason, honorable mention. But no, it's really good. It has even two different play styles. You can play like versus AI or versus aliens or something like that, whatever. Raptors. And what I've played most was like Command & Conquer Tiberian Wars, and I played the hell out of it. Like we played with friends 2v2 AIs and later 2v4 AIs and something like that. And it was amazing because the AI there was also very good. So similar to Beyond All Reason, of course.
We're going to have a ban on Beyond Our Reason being mentioned first of the episode. Tim, bearing in mind that we've just banned a certain word, do you have any co-op experience in strategy games that you'd like to talk about?
Yeah, absolutely. And actually not in the banned word game. I don't like co-op there, actually. But in other games, usually what I find myself to play co-op in is in custom-made maps in strategy games. Like, for example, StarCraft Brood War had like a lot of really cool co-op custom maps that you're together trying to do some weird thing or whatever. That was a lot of fun. Same thing with Heroes of Might and Magic 3, that I played some custom-made maps where you have to fight a big bad guy and then you play with a few friends together. And I wish it...
3.
Yeah,
Warcraft 3 as well. Warcraft 3 had really good maps for co-op play.
The tower defense maps and all sorts of weird maps are lots of fun. I wish more games were more dedicated to co-op, where you play together against something, and it doesn't always have to be war and shooting people and killing people. It can have strategy in like many other ways, I think. But I think that's a very underutilized game mode. By the way, the banned game campaign is to be a co-op campaign. Just FYI.
So again, the FYI, you can mention bar. It's fine. The ban's been.
Yeah, no, that.
I just want you to talk about a different game from like a co-op perspective.
The campaign is being designed as a co-op campaign that you can play with two people together.
We talked about this when we talked about this co-op situation when we did the episode on single player versus multiplayer, and And I think that you introduced this as a way of getting people into the multiplayer aspect of gaming, and with it being more social rather than competitive. So, I don't play well with others. I never have. Which is strange because I'm such a lovely guy.
Allegedly, you
know, I think that. Your mum agrees. I think that
is that the best you could come up with?
Yes, that was the best I could come up with. yes, it's juvenile toilet humour, but you know, deal with it. I think that co-op might be a way of getting me into play multiplayer, but we'll cross that bridge when we come to it. No, I'm going to come to you with a different question. This is from Jeff. Jeff, whose username is Dengar98K. I think he's on our Discord. This is a long one, so you might want to grab a pen and paper and write it down.
Oh, boy. I don't know how to write.
Or just take the salient points and remember them. You are to be stranded on an island forever.
What's
that? A desert island, I'm assuming. You get to take one strategy game to play. What game do you choose?
Can I come back to that later? I have to think about it.
Yeah, you can go back to it. Adam, we'll go to you with the same question.
Me?
Yeah, you're Adam. Yep.
Give me a sec. probably one of the Civilization games or one of my addiction. That is Oxygen Not Included. I don't know if you are aware of the game.
What he says, I guess it's a question of not what might be your favorite game, but what do you think has the most replayability?
Yeah, that's why I brought up. That's why I've never mentioned Oxygen Not Included, because it's not the best game, but it's so... You can play it in so many ways, and you have so many different scenarios that can play out. And so that's why I chose it. And Civilization, because, you know, it's a great big game with huge amount of options you can tweak and deal with and so on. And you, Al?
If I could only play one game, game forever, one strategy game forever. Yep.
Beyond All Reason.
It's a multiplayer game, so mostly multiplayer game.
I'd hate to bloody hell. Stellaris.
Oh, okay.
I know we talk about it a lot, but I think that it's the game I've racked up the most hours with somewhere close to 7,000, according to my Steam profile. So clearly it has all the elements that appeal to me. Endlessly replayable, as long as you can deal with the end game lag. Stellaris for me, yeah.
Do you keep getting DLCs if you're on an island?
If
you're on the island.
I don't know. I tell you what we'll do. We'll go back to Jeff and we'll ask him to clarify that point. But if I can just take it with I haven't got Biogenesis, which is the one which is due out in May, I think. May the 21st, if I remember rightly, is the next DLC for Stellaris, but I've got all the rest of them. So if I can take them as they are now, I'd be quite happy.
You could be alone on an island playing with all your friends.
If it's just an island, it can be the island of the United Kingdom, right?
Well, it's just I guess so, but I don't think that's what he meant when he I guess that's not what he intended with the phrasing of the question. So Jack.
I mean, it's gotta be a Paradox game, right? You play 20-minute sessions of Age of Empires and you have to, you know, try to swim back to shore or something. I would probably have said Stellaris too. If I had received a setup with every DLC that already exists in Stellaris and I got no future updates, I mean, for the amount of time that I put in, I don't know that I've ever played half the content in the DLCs. So I think I would be set for a very long time. I could just max out the amount of time that it takes to reach the endgame crisis and shorten it and change the number of planets and everything, and I'd be set.
Do you actually get as far as the endgame crisis? Because I think there's you know, early game's great, mid game, late game, yeah. It just seems to be a bit of a slog to get there.
Well, I'm going to start a Stellaris podcast on the island, so you'll hear about it there. But I never actually get to the in-game crisis. I think I've probably encountered two of the five or so. Every time I get so close, it generally becomes an issue with the other systems at play, all the same complaints we have about Stellaris, where it's like you have the perfect run and you're right about to face the in-game crisis, and then somebody gets elected the ruler of the galaxy and you're like, well, this run is over. No, I'm going to have to restart. I'm not going to be somebody's thrall. So,
What is going to be the name of your Stellaris podcast?
It's a good question.
The start of the show. You're welcome. You can pay me royalties later. Don't worry.
The start of the show.
The star.
The star of the show.
The star. Yeah. See,
yeah, that's a terrible name. I think Jack's a grown up, significantly older than Tim. I think that we can let Jack choose his own name for his podcast, don't you?
I was just giving ideas.
we'll let Jack think about his Stellaris podcast name, and Adam, if you answer this one, because I can't remember.
Me? Yeah, I answered this one. Oh, and I asked you, so yeah.
That's great hosting.
Is it Civilization hosting? Or?
Yeah,
it was Civilization.
Oxygen not included.
Oxygen, yeah, that's okay. Yeah, I apologize.
Great hosting. Nice.
Jack's still pondering the name of his podcast.
Well, thank you, Al, for defending me earlier. I think I'm going to call it Critical Moves, was this original idea I had on the island.
Great idea, man.
Great idea.
You're all welcome.
It's a good name. It's a good name.
Or Beyond All Reason, also a good name.
It's not a bad name. Right, we are running out of time. We're approaching bedtime for me and bedtime for Nuno and Beyond All Reason time for Tim. And Adam's going to go and talk to his partner about strategy games because she loves it when he does that. Jack, what are you doing for the rest of the day?
I whispered to her ear, like, oh, let's, like, I wanted to talk
we about... We don't want to know. We don't want to know what you're... You keep your bedroom antics to yourself. That's you know,
wanna
we don't want to know.
Of beyond all reason with me?
Huh? I saw that coming.
That's one way to get all
foreplay, basically.
Beyond the reason.
And yeah, and it starts. There's the code.
Okay.
I haven't answered the question. So before I'll...
Did you not ask the question? Oh, sorry.
No.
That's what I meant to come to. I went to Adam and I meant to come to you. I apologize. Forgive me. Rude. Go on.
Very rude. Great hosting again. Nice. So.
Feel free to take over.
No, it's too much work. Oh, your mom. Oh, your mom's taking over. Oh. No, I can't say that because how mom is in Portugal, right? So
answer the question because I can just cut it out anyway, so it's fine.
So my favorite game to take to an island would be Faster Than Light, FTL, because for some reason, like, this game has been out for what, 15 years or something like that. No, not that much. And I still play it, like, every week. I don't know if you guys know about Faster Than FTL, Faster Than Light.
Amazing game. Amazing game.
Yeah, and it's just so addicting. Like, you can play and start new runs, and you end up dead, like, half an hour late, and then you can just start again. And it's I don't know, it has, like, it's so simple, but it's so addicting. And I think I'm gonna play this game forever.
Well, you will if you're stuck on an island with no other games to play.
So for me, I would say that something that's really important for something like that is a certain complexity and sandbox, because it's, if you have like a fixed storyline, you're doing the same storyline over and over. So sandbox sets, I think, is probably a really important thing. If I can choose, maybe I would choose something like the program Unity or Visual Studio Code, so I can make my own games. Since I have all the time in the world,
you're
anyway.
No reason to.
Exactly.
Check out the big brain on Tim.
Oh yeah, I know, right? Like, just showing off over here. If I want to answer the spirit of the question, let's say, I would consider Dwarf Fortress, even though I never played it. I saw a lot of the game, and that seems like some game that you can put like thousands of hours in. Something like that. Or, that's another one.
And we know what you want to say.
Oh, Distant Worlds 1. I also could consider that. Yeah.
You don't want to take Beyond All Reason with you?
It's a multiplayer game. I enjoyed the multiplayer aspect of that game. Why would I take that with me? Like, that makes no sense at all. You started this by saying, oh, it's not the best game, but, you know, the game with the most replayability. So...
I didn't start it. Jeff started it. Don't blame me for Jeff's question. That's unfair. I'm not taking responsibility for Jeff.
Fuck Jeff.
Don't fuck Jeff.
You said something about bedtime for you, Al?
Yes. Yes, it is. So I think we'll call it a night. Thanks for coming on. Thanks for talking to me. As always, you're all addicted and you just can't get enough. It's appreciated. If you want to get involved with the Critical Moves podcast, if this is the first time you've heard it, go to criticalmovespodcast.com, where you'll find all of our links to Discord, social media, forums, blogs, the works. We've got it all covered. We've got everything.
We have forums. Everything forums down. In 2025. We have forums. Nice.
We do. So criticalmovespodcast.com. Get involved. And if you've enjoyed listening to us bitch and twist and moan like a bunch of old ladies, be sure to share this episode with somebody else who you think will enjoy it as well. Thanks very much. Say good night, gentlemen.
Good night.
I forgot. You can't see me. Wave.
Why is everyone so shy?
I know. What's happening?
What's happening?
Okay.
Good night, everybody. It's mid-afternoon for me.
All right. Stop showing off. Always the new guy showing off, isn't it? Always the new guy. Hey, look at me. I've got hours left in my day. Okay. Thanks again. Take it easy. Goodbye.